In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're fortunate that on a Sunday, we can celebrate this really wonderful and very, very important feast, because we honor the holy prophet, forerunner, and Baptist, John. Now, why is this? Well, because the Lord himself said that there's none among those born of women that are greater than him. He is someone who from almost his very conception was divinized in the womb. He recognized when the Lord was close to him, when Mary and Elizabeth came together. He is someone who was quite dedicated from the very beginning, knowing what his goal in life and what his mission was. Because if anyone knew who he was, John the Baptist certainly knew who he was. What do the scriptures say us? They say to us, they tell us that we should know ourselves. Well, John the Baptist certainly did. His mission was singular. He cared not a whit for himself, was only dedicated to the spreading of the preparation of the gospel of the Lord. Now, we all know the story. We heard it today. John, of course, was someone preaching in the wilderness. The first words out of his mouth were repent, just as the first words out of the Lord's mouth would be repent. And so he kept doing this, and his crowds grew and grew, and people followed him because they were able to detect the fact that this was somebody different, that this was a very holy personage in their midst. That was very important to them. And so they knew that John was someone special. And John actually was someone who was very much cared about the people, about the community that he was a part of, about all those who were in his faith. And of course, he came upon Herod Antipas, and who had taken Herodias as his wife. Herodias was the wife of his brother Philip. They had a child, Salome. And Herod was, well, doing all sorts of bad things in the eyes of the Lord and certainly in the eyes of John. But actually, John, he couldn't have cared a whit about what Herod was actually doing. Herod's sins were his own sins. That wasn't the problem. There were many other people, of course, in Israel at that time that were sinning, were they not? But what John was concerned about was the extreme nature of what Herod was doing. Herod was, in one way, he was trying to redefine what marriage was. Thank God that's not happening these days, right? Herod was someone who was a representative of the people of Israel. So his sin was being seen almost as an example to other people in Israel. It was a disruption, a complete disruption of the community, the disruption of the faith that was being preached. It was something that John wanted no part of, and so he had to call him out on this. John was not a political man. It had nothing to do with that. Lord knows there were plenty of politics going on at the time that John could have latched on. He could have condemned the Roman emperor if he wanted to, but he wasn't concerned about that. He was only concerned with the fact that this man, who was in a position of responsibility, was trumpeting the fact that he was living in adultery, was trumpeting the fact that he was completely ignoring the laws of Israel. And for John, this was too much. This was something that was getting in the way of what the mission was going to be for himself and the goal of all of Israel at that point. We keep a fast today, a strict fast, because John kept a strict fast every day. Every day that he was alive, he was fasting. He was fasting not only from food, showing all of us that the needs of the body are of a secondary nature, but most particularly from the passions. And the passions were the things that he was most concerned about, because Herod, in his activities, was displaying unbelievable passions and showing everyone that, well, this is okay. It's okay to pursue our passions above everything else. It's okay to go our own way, even though we disrupt the community. That was his message for all of us. It's a good message today, too. A very important message. Because later on, in fact, just a few minutes, we're going to reinstitute a prayer for those who have been afflicted by the coronavirus. For as you can see, it's afflicted us also today. But we're also going to begin saying the prayer that we should have started saying months ago. And that's a prayer for the pacification of enmity in our land, for those that are engaged in strife and feeling that our land is going in a way that it should not. We're going to start praying to God for these things as well. And that's why it's important to look at what John did, because he was doing the same thing. He was calling out something that was disrupting his community, that was getting in the way of everything that he wanted to proclaim, and was causing people to lose sight of the one thing needful. And that thing was the coming Messiah. They were getting too involved in all the other things that were going on in the land at that point. Not only Herod's bad witness, but also the fact that there were so many militants at that age. So many militants that were ready to fight the Romans, that wanted to take up the sword, that wanted to correct the things in civil society. And again, John said, you know, that's fine, but if you take your eyes off the Messiah, just like if we take our eyes off the Lord today, this other stuff is nonsense. It doesn't matter. Because one day, when we're taken from this earth, that's not going to be one of the questions that the Lord asks us about. Well, did you take this side on that issue or that side on that issue? Or did you protest this or that? You're not going to be asked any of that. You're going to be asked, did you follow Christ? And if you engaged in anything else in your life, was that the primary thing in your life? Were you engaged with Jesus Christ before anything else? This is what John the Baptist is pointing all of us to. Because nothing else, my dear brothers and sisters, really matters at all. None of the things that we involve ourselves in, none of the things that we get so worked up about, none of the things we spend so much time on. One of the things I think we have to ask ourselves these days, because all of us worry about these different things, and we complain about different things, we get so involved in different things, are we spending as much time pursuing Christ in prayer as we are to these other things? Because if you're not, you're on the wrong foot already. Because only through the light of the Lord can we receive the type of illumination that we need to receive in order to live peaceably in this world. John the Baptist, though he was beheaded, he knew he was going to be beheaded. He knew that he would have to decrease as the Lord increased. He knew what his life was going to be all about, but he didn't care about any of that. It didn't matter to him because he was there for a purpose, for a reason, and that reason was to prepare the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to do that as well. That has to be foremost in our thoughts and everything that we do, everything that we pursue, all the things we're worried about, all the things we're concerned about. All the saints were at peace for all these things. They weren't disturbed. They weren't worried. They weren't any of those kind of things. Because the Lord said, peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, which is a temporary kind of assuaging of our anger and hostilities, is not a genuine peace. If anything, it's just more of a flat line where we feel like we could relax for a little bit. That's not the sort of peace that we want. We want the peace that only comes from above, the peace that transcends everything that we encounter in the world. What did the Lord say? He said, while you are in the world, you will have trouble. He knew this. He knew that there were going to be things that were going to cause us disturbances, that were going to bother us. He was well aware of that. But he came so that we might remain calm through it all, that we might have peace through it all, that we might draw near to him, that we might understand that our lives have a much higher purpose than getting involved in all the mundane troubles of the world. Because believe me, the world is always going to find ways of giving you trouble. If it's not one thing, it's going to be another. History has shown us that. This is not going to be any different. And in the future, it's not going to be any different. But the people of God, especially the Orthodox Christian people who have seen the true light, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, they should be able to respond in a different manner, a sober manner, a calm manner, a peaceable manner, a manner that emanates the Spirit of Jesus Christ to everyone that's around them. This is the call from John the Baptist. It might seem like it's a strike against Herod and Herodias' adultery. It might seem like it's some sort of political action, the way he did it, because he did it very publicly. Everyone heard it. Everyone knew. But no, that's not it. It's a piercing call to our own adulteries, because we take as our partners things outside of Christ, and we make idols of them. And we have to stop that. We have to be a light to the world. We have to be a light to one another. We have here at St. James, although we're kind of low today for things that are going on right now, a lot of people are in quarantine. I mean, it's a mess. But at St. James, we have a very loving and responsive Christian community. People that come here know this. They comment on it. They say things to me all the time. Even visitors that we might not ever see again say that to me. It's because, although we have many faults and failings, starting here, but it's because we attempt to love one another, to support one another, to be there for one another. I can't speak for all of you, but in my own family, my mother's gone, my father's gone, my aunts and uncles are gone, my grandparents are gone. I have, of course, my own family nucleus right now. But you are my family. You are my brothers and sisters. You are the reason that I come up here and do this every week. Failing often, I know that. There's no question about that. Any priest worth his salt knows that he shouldn't even walk into the church. Believe me. That's not hyperbole. That's very true. But I look upon all you as my brothers and sisters in Christ and try to approach you in the way that St. John wants us to approach one another, in a loving spirit, and a spirit that says, you know, no matter what, you know, we're all in this together. We are all Christians on the road to the heavenly realm. And though the road is cluttered with things that may seem like they're absolute hell, it is possible to reach up and bring down some of that heaven right now as a foretaste, to present it to one another, to love one another in Christ. For because if there is no in Christ part of this, there is no genuine love. There is no such thing as love outside of Jesus Christ. He is the definition, the standard bearer, love itself, and we are to emulate that. So think of St. John today. Think of what he did. The fact that he went through his life knowing what the end was going to be. Every day he knew, from the youngest moment he had where he was cognizant of life itself, he knew what was going to happen to him, but it didn't stop him. It didn't stop his attaining theosis. It didn't stop his preaching. It didn't stop his great love for all the people that were coming to him that he was so concerned about. Let us adopt that same type of love in our hearts. Let us pursue Christ with a singularity, not swaying to the right or to the left for any of the things that come into our path, but only for his sake, for only in him are we able to achieve that which we so much desire, and that's his heavenly kingdom. Amen.